صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبداً ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is narrated that الريان ابن شبيب once came into the presence of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha salawatullahi alayhi. And he narrates the following conversation between him and the Imam. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, and this was in the month of Muharram, he says to him, Ya ibn Shabib, إن كنت باكيا لشيء فابكي للحسين. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he says, O son of Shabib, if you want to cry over something, if there is one thing that is worthy of your tears, then cry for Hussein. Why? The Imam explains. فَإِنَّهُ ذُبِحَ كَمَا يُذْبَحُ الْكَبْشِ. Because Imam al-Hussein was slaughtered in the way that a ram or a sheep is slaughtered. What does Imam al-Ridha mean by this statement? Imam, he compares the slaughtering of Imam al-Hussein to the slaughtering of a kebsh. There are three things I want to share. Three similarities between the slaughtering of a kebsh, a ram, and the slaughtering of Imam al-Hussein. And that is, number one, people typically slaughter a kebsh on joyous occasions. We slaughter sheep, we slaughter animals during our A'yad, Eid al-Adha, when there's a newborn. Usually it's a joyous occasion. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he says similarly, when the army of Umar ibn Sa'ad slaughtered Imam al-Hussein, it was an Eid for them. It was a celebratory occasion for them. They were jubilating, singing, celebrating after they slaughtered Imam al-Hussein. Number two, there are some animals whose sacrifice is unaccepted to people. There are certain animals that are precious to human beings, that if you were to slaughter them, there would be opposition. If someone were to slaughter a cat, animal rights organizations would condemn that. If someone were to slaughter a dog, animal rights activists would take it to the streets. There would be international outrage if you were to slaughter a cat, a dog, an elephant, a lion. Because human beings recognize that these animals have value. They have to be protected. But when you slaughter a kebsh, when you slaughter a sheep, generally people do not object. Because there's an understanding that these animals, they serve a purpose. When they're slaughtered, they are consumed. You can benefit from their wool. When Imam al-Ridha says, ذُبِحَ الْحُسَيْنِ كَمَا يُذْبَحُ الْكَبْشِ, he's highlighting that in the same way that no one objects to the slaughtering of a kebsh, no one objected to the slaughtering of Imam al-Husayn. This is why Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, she said when she saw Shimr on the chest of Husayn, what did she say? وَيْحَكُمْ أَمَا فِيكُمْ مُسْلِمْ. Is there not a single Muslim among you? Is there no one who objects to this? Is there no one who has a problem with this, the slaughtering of the grandson of the Prophet? Number three is that when a kebsh is slaughtered, when a ram is slaughtered, people take pieces from it. One wants to take the leg, one wants to take the head. When a kebsh is slaughtered, everyone extends his hand to take a part of it. Similarly, when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was slaughtered, they did not leave him. One man would come and take his imamah. Another would take his cloak. Another would rip the shirt from his body. Another would take his trousers. There was a man who came and he saw that there was a ring on the finger of the imam. He came to the body of Abi Abdullah and he wanted to take the ring off. He couldn't remove the ring. Did he leave the body? He took out a dagger and cut the finger of Imam al-Husayn. Everyone wanted a piece of Abi Abdullah. When Imam al-Ridha says, إن كنت باكيا لشيء فابكي للحسين فإنه ذبح كما يذبح الكبش. But the atrocity did not stop there. Not only did they loot his body, Umar ibn Sa'd, he makes an announcement. Ibn Ziyad, he sends him a letter saying that I don't only want you to decapitate the bodies, I want you to trample the bodies with the horses. Umar ibn Sa'd, he says, I need 10 volunteers, 10 horsemen to trample the body of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. 10 men, they come forward. They mount their horses. And Umar ibn Sa'd, he gives them the signal, Ya khaylallah irkabi, wa bil jannati abshiri. Na'udhu billah. Imagine these people. He calls these people, the horsemen of Allah. And he says to them, have the glad tidings of Jannah. And they trample the body of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, so much so that Imam al-Sajjad from his tent, he could hear the cracking of the bones.
I don't know which is more painful for Sahib al-Zaman, the breaking of the ribs of Fatima or the breaking of the ribs of Hussein. If you go to Karbala today, there is a place inside of the Haram called Al-Madbah Al-Muqaddas. There is a barih with a red light. This is where Imam Al-Hussein was beheaded. But you notice that Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam is not buried there. You would think that he would have been buried in the place that he was beheaded. But you see that Imam Al-Hussein is buried several meters away. And you may wonder, why is he buried far from the place that he was slaughtered? They say because when the horses trampled his body was flung. And you would think that this would have been enough, that the army of Umar ibn Sa'd would have left it there. They accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. But when shaitan conquers the heart of Bani Adam, they are capable of unspeakable atrocities. The next thing that they do is that they set fire to the tents of the women and the children. They take the torches. Imagine the women and the children after being traumatized. They're not even given a moment of relief. Not even a moment to grieve. They set fire to the tents. Humayd ibn Muslim, he says, there was chaos in the tents of the women and the children. Women, children running frantically, trying to escape the flames. But he says, there is one scene that I will never forget. قال رأيت صبية تتراكض في البيداء. He said, I saw a young girl emerge from the camp of Hussein. وقد تعلقت النيران في ثيابها. He says, this little girl, she came out of the tent running frantically from side to side. He says, I saw that her dress was caught on fire. She was running in a state of panic. I felt sorry for her. She was running from side to side in a state of panic. He said, I went close to her to help her extinguish the flames on her dress. قَالَ دَنَوْتُ مِنْهَا لِأُطْفِئُ النَّارِ. He says, when I went close to her, she was terrified by my presence. She was afraid of me. فَلَمَّا دَنَوْتُ مِنْهَا إِرْتَعَدَتْ فَرَائِصُهَا وَخَافَتْ. She was afraid of me when I came to her. She asked me, يَا عَمْ أَنْتَ لَنَا أَمْ عَلَيْنَا. Her first question to me was, are you with us or are you against us? He says, I am not with you, nor am I against you. She says to him, Ya hadha, hal qara'at al-Qur'an? Have you ever read the Qur'an? He says, yes, I've read the Qur'an. He says, who are you? She says to him, have you read the Qur'an? He says, yes. She says, have you read the word of Allah? And he says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَهَرْ. Have you read the word of Allah? When he says, and do not reproach the orphan. She says, "I'm an orphan." He says to her, "Who are your parents? Who are you?" She says to him, "Ana yatimatu abi Abdullah al-Husayn. I am the orphan daughter of Hussein." He says, "Is there anything that I can do to help you? Is there anything that I can do to assist you?" She says to him, "I want you to take me to Najaf." He says, "Why do you want to go to Najaf?" She says to him, "Akhbaratni ammati Zainab anna lana qabran fil ghari qabr jaddi Ali ibn Abi Talib." I want you to take me to Najaf because my aunt Zainab, she said to me that you have a grandfather buried in Najaf. You have a grandfather who's buried there, a man who is so beloved to Allah. Ma atahu makrubun wala talibu hajatin illa qadallahu hajata. That if I go to that place where my grandfather is buried and I pray to Allah and I make dua, Allah will accept my dua and relieve me of my distress. He says to her that Najaf is too far. I cannot take you to Najaf, it's too far. Is there anywhere else you would like to take me? She says, "Khudni ila shatt al-Furat." She says, "Take me to the Euphrates River." He says, "I walked with her as we got closer to the river." He says, "I thought she was thirsty, but she started to run. But she was not running towards the river. She ran towards a body without any arms. She ran to a body besides the Euphrates. A body without any arms. She threw herself on that body and she cried out, 'Ya Am, Ya Abul Fadl al-Abbas, qum wanzur maza sana'u bina.' Oh my uncle Abbas, wake up, oh Abbas, wake up, oh my uncle, and look what they did to us."
Ruqayya's loneliness and silence fills.